chop it up, chop it up. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud. All right, what's going on, guys? Farzi Vasugian here with you. We are live for another episode of the Chief Zone podcast. Welcome in. I appreciate all of you guys taking the time to download and listen to the episode or watch live on Facebook and YouTube. Much appreciated. Feels like a long time since we've last done a podcast. Obviously, not a whole lot happening news-wise for the Chiefs, but still some things to dive into here on tonight's episode of the Chief Zone podcast. Phase one of OTAs underway. What does that mean exactly? How exactly are the Chiefs choosing to go about it in this manner? I'll talk to you guys about that. Rashee Rice, some new news on that end right there since we've last done a podcast, and it's not looking good. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The more we hear about this, the worse it continues to look for Rashee Rice, so we'll talk about that. How much do we trust in Kadarius Toney? Yes, that is a topic that'll be discussed on today's podcast. Andy Reid had some comments about Kadarius Toney, and I think it is time that we maybe have a discussion about what could KT's role be in Kansas City this week, or this year, rather. Also, the NFL has a new sponsor, and it has a lot of people reacting to it. All of that and much more here on this episode of the Chief Zone podcast. I appreciate all of you guys who are watching live on Facebook and YouTube. I see you guys on both of those websites, so appreciate all of you taking the time to check out the podcast live. Want to let you know this podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. Baseball season is underway. The NHL playoffs coming up soon. The NBA playoffs cooking right now. And you guys got an opportunity to go check out those games. And the best place to go to get your tickets is SeatGeek. And new SeatGeek customers can use my promo code Farzine. You will save $20 off your first purchase from SeatGeek. Hey, the Royals are looking hot right now. Like I said, we have a couple of pro sports where they've got the playoffs starting up very soon. So go check out some sports action. Use my promo code Farzine if you're a new SeatGeek customer, and you will save $20 off your first purchase over at SeatGeek.com. Use my promo code Farzine and go check out a game. Save $20 in the process while you do that. All right, let's get right into it here because there's not a whole lot to get into. But I think there are some, and when you have weeks like this, you're going to have to kind of create some talking points here. And we're definitely going to do that a little bit on this podcast. We're definitely going to be creating some talking points in the months of late May, June, early July, because really during that 8-week stretch, there's not going to be much news from the NFL. You'll still have news. You'll still have free agent signings and whatnot. Maybe some trades here and there. Very rare you see a trade around that time, but still possible nonetheless. But we're going to have to come up with a lot of topics during that time, and we'll take breaks from the podcast during that time as well. But for now, let's get right into it. So phase one of OTAs officially underway. And if you're wondering what is phase one exactly, so it's essentially a 2-week program that is limited to meetings, strength and conditioning, and physical rehab, according to the NFL on its website. And you can do this multiple ways. You can do this in person. And I think a lot of teams that have a first-year head coach, a new head coach for the team, if they did not retain the head coach they had from the year before, they get to start 2 weeks early. And a lot of times those coaches want to meet in person. But if you're a team like the Chiefs, and this is how they've done this for a couple of years now, especially in the Zoom era, if you will, Andy Reid said straight up that this is all the participation here, which is voluntary, by the way, is happening through Zoom. So, and there was a mention of Rashee Rice, who is participating, according to Andy Reid, and is taking part in the team activities, and he's down there with the Chiefs in Texas. Now, he's been working out with Patrick Mahomes and Hollywood Brown with Bobby Stroup. As a lot of you guys know, Bobby Stroup is Patrick Mahomes' personal trainer. And I think with the legal situation that he's in right now, he took a little bit of a break from doing some of that. But posted on Instagram recently that He is now back on the field training with everyone else. A lot of Chiefs players are there, and Mahomes praised some of the guys like Luis Rizamet, Sky Moore, Nico Remigio, so many guys, Anthony Miller. The fact that a lot of these guys are actually spending money to stay in hotels, Airbnbs, whatever the case may be, so they can be down there training with Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is living in his fancy schmancy house down there in Texas with his family, and he doesn't have to go anywhere. I mean, that's his home right there, essentially. But the rest of his teammates, they're coming out to get some work done, get some practice in, get some reps in before they have the actual in-person OTAs, the actual practices after the draft. So it is really good to see the Chiefs continue to do this again. You've seen this for a couple of years now where the Chiefs are figuring out on their own what to do without the coaching staff, without the assistant coaches, everyone around them, so they can kind of get things down on their own, which is good to see. And we'll get into some of that in a moment there because there's some things to get into, but we got to start with the Rashee Rice situation because he and SMU cornerback Teddy Knox, they are now involved in a lawsuit from that car accident that took place on March the 31st. There's a couple, they were in the same vehicle, part of that six vehicle crash that involved Rashee Rice's Corvette that's in his name, but was driven by Teddy Knox. And then the Lamborghini that Rashee Rice was leasing, he was behind the wheel in that vehicle. And there was a couple that was in a Lexus, and they are suing Rice and Teddy Knox in a lawsuit for $1 million and want up to $10 million in punitive damages. Now, I will say this, because when we first heard about the story, we were told that there were not any serious injuries or deaths. Well, it turns out there are some serious injuries to this. Now, before I mention let me just give you the details here. Because in the lawsuit, it mentions some of these injuries: trauma to the brain, lacerations to the face requiring stitches, multiple contusions about the body, internal bleeding, and other internal and external injuries that may only be fully revealed over the course of medical treatment. So that is a report that's out there. Now, a lot of you guys might be saying, hey, we first heard the story that there were not any serious injuries. Yes, that was the case. But something similar kind of happened in the Britt Reid incident, where we knew that there was a young girl who was in serious condition. Nobody knew the severity of her condition after the accident. And that took, I want to say, at least 2 weeks to come out before we really understood the severity of her condition after the accident. So this does happen sometimes, where we're told, hey, there were no serious injuries, but then we, you know, wait later on, it's like, okay, well, actually there were. Maybe just in that moment, you know, everyone was able to walk around fine, but later, you know, once these people get treated and whatnot, turns out there were some serious injuries that they were not mentioned on the police report. I don't have an explanation as to why it went down like that, but that's just the way it did. Listen, I don't have a lot to say about this whole situation here. Listen, we've already said this. I just mentioned Britt Reid. Listen, you had the Britt Reid incident. You had the Henry Ruggs deal in Vegas. And it's kind of silly that, you know, you have two prime examples of these things that have occurred, and yet you're doing this. And they're all kind of different, too. Like, Britt Reid was under the influence of alcohol and drugs. And, I mean, the guy barely got on the highway. Like, as soon as, I think he was on the entrance ramp where the crash happened. Henry Ruggs was actually leaving a hotel in Vegas. And you guys, if you guys have been to Vegas, you would know that entire Vegas strip full of hotels. Surely there's at least one place or one empty room in that strip there. But he chose to leave that area, and unfortunately it led to the death of an innocent woman, and I believe a pet as well, if I recall. So you know, that's very unfortunate. And now you have Henry Ruggs and his friends who are speed racing on the highway in Texas, of all places. Not that it's safe anywhere, but it's just very irresponsible. And there was marijuana in the Lamborghini that Rice was driving. And listen, I know a lot of people say, weed is not a big deal and whatnot. And listen, I don't disagree, but when you're behind the wheel, that's when it becomes an issue. Let me just bring this up, because in that report of the lawsuit, I don't know who is exactly saying this. I don't think they actually source a specific person. But in the lawsuit document, it says, despite his physical abilities, referring to Rashi Rice, his physical abilities and responsibilities as a public figure, Rice raced a high-powered vehicle through the public roads of Dallas County, Texas, lost control, and injured several innocent people, including the plaintiffs in this cause. What does that mean? That, you know, his physical abilities and responsibilities as a public figure. Because it's almost like the way that's worded, it's almost like, you know, athletes and celebrities, they need to know better. Whereas, you know, your next door neighbor who works a 9-to-5 just like you, maybe you cut him some slack. Like, I don't know. The wording of that is just a little weird. Listen, it doesn't matter if the president of the United States does that or if, you know, the average 9-to-5 person does that. Everyone should suffer the same consequences. Now, we do know that it does not work this way in this country. You can convince any of us that there are one set of laws and they apply to the same to everybody, but we just know that's not the case. Hey, listen, let's be completely honest here. Rashi Rice fled the scene. I mean, as soon as the accident happened and it's on camera, he and his buddies got out of the car and just started walking away, and there are pictures of them walking away from the scene. And, you know, yeah, he turned himself in eventually, but anybody who flees the scene, you're not going to be able to walk free for a week. And again, I know he turned himself in and he was out in 4 seconds, but still, it's like, this is kind of a weird deal here. Like, you're not doing yourself any favors by doing this. It's kind of odd that, you know, he's out there admitting to all of this, talking to an attorney, and the amount of people excusing it too. Oh, well, he's lawyering up. I don't give a damn. You did something you were not supposed to do. You left the scene before police could arrive, and you basically got to walk around free for a week or two, however long it was. And by the way, there's another thing here, too. They just left their vehicles. I mean, I don't know if they were, I assumed they called a tow trucking company to come and get those vehicles that they just abandoned on the highway. You know what was inside one of the vehicles other than marijuana? The Chiefs playbook was inside one of the vehicles. Let me just explain something to you guys. Not that any of these other drivers and passengers in these the other four vehicles, not that they benefit from owning or taking someone else's playbook, unless they have connections to another football team and they want to give away the Chiefs secret. But if you here's what I'm trying to get at here. Football teams do not want their playbooks in the hands of anyone else. If you play for a team and you have their playbook, it needs to be with you at all times. And if you're out and about, if it's in your car, fine. But if you're just going to leave your car and walk away, leave everything unlocked, that is an issue. Someone could easily steal that. And in a day and age where we have these things right here called smartphones, the cameras can take all kinds of pictures and you can just put them out on the internet. Thankfully, as far as I know, that didn't happen with this. This could have been bad from a football standpoint as well. I think it was Antonio Brown. Don't quote me. Maybe I got the wrong player in here that I'm thinking of, but somebody was unhappy with a practice session they had. So they show a route that they ran in practice, and it's essentially the practice film. Coaches do not want that shit out there. Just like how they don't want the playbook to just be sitting out there in the public for anyone to go and grab. Again, thankfully, nothing seemed to have happened with that, but it could have gone wrong. I mean, that is essentially your secret recipe to trying to three-peat. Now, you know, if you have someone's playbook, what could you learn from all of that? Well, depending on how certain teams line up, you might be able to know what they might run. So, again, I don't think there's any foul play involved in terms of someone trying to steal the playbook and do anything on that front, but it could have happened. And here's another thing to keep in mind. And I know I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Rashi Rice is very fortunate that there were no deaths in this one, or I was about to say serious injuries, but I guess there are some according to this lawsuit. But I don't think it's as serious as it was for Ariel Young, the young girl who was involved in the Britt Reed accident. Yeah, we all know that Henry Ruggs, I don't think the NFL ever formally suspended Henry Ruggs. They just realized, hey, you're kind of dealing with this. We don't need to suspend you. You're too busy for football. But the NFL is going to come down with a suspension. What is it going to be? Half a season, a full season, just a couple of games? No one really knows. We know that there's a lot of inconsistencies with the NFL when it comes to punishments and whatnot, but he's going to play football again. And I think part of it is because the outcome was not as bad as it could have been. And I don't really like putting it that way, but unfortunately, we are, you know, when it comes to, when I say we, I'm talking more so with leaders. I guess we are kind of, and maybe even as people too, we are more forgiving if the bad outcome was not as bad as it could have been. But that is kind of the way things work sometimes. So if you're a Rashi Rice man, this better be the biggest wake-up call ever, because he made, what, $6 million, give or take, his rookie season. Not bad for a rookie who broke a postseason record for receiving yards as a rookie and won a Super Bowl. Not bad at all. Not bad at all. But he didn't. I don't think this couple is going to get the money they're looking for. We know how these things work. A majority of the time, whenever a public figure is involved with a lawsuit like this, they find a way to come to terms on like some sort of a settlement. So I would expect that to happen at the very least. Could the couple, you know, and their attorney be very aggressive and say, nope, we are not accepting any forgiveness here. We want to be aggressive about this in court. Sure. That is always a possibility as well. But he's going to play football again. How much jail time is he going to spend behind bars? I don't know. Don't know. Again, we know the rules don't apply to everyone. Let's just be honest about that. Learn from this, man. And, you know, I think there's a fair point to be made that in the future, Rashi Rice might have this held against him, meaning he's not going to be able to land himself a big-term contract unless he unleashes and plays like another guy who shares the same last name as him, Jerry Rice. Now, I'm not going to hold my breath on that to happen, but you essentially need to play like Jerry Rice or T.O. the next couple of years so you can not only keep your career alive in the NFL, but potentially earn a big contract elsewhere. And whenever teams are going to offer you that big deal, they're going to say, look, we know you did this before. We just want you to know you do this, a lot of things in this contract are going to be void. So this is going to be a huge learning lesson for him moving forward. Now, there is a football side of this. That obviously a big part of it as well. Andy Reid in his press conference on Monday was asked a lot about what the Chiefs might do in the event that Rashi Rice will be suspended a significant amount of time for the 2024 season. And there are a lot of options out there. Tyler Boyd, the Chiefs have been rumored to be involved with him. Reports are that Boyd is going to wait until after the draft to sign with a team. And if a team like the Chiefs drafts a wide receiver in the first round and then they draft one or two more later, then there's a chance Tyler Boyd might not want to go to Kansas City and might want to go elsewhere where he will be utilized more. There's always the option for him to go back to Cincinnati. Now, if they find a way to agree to terms with T. Higgins, then maybe Tyler Boyd wants to go elsewhere because he knows that in Cincinnati, it's going to be Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, 1 and 2. And he does not want to be number 3. I can understand that because I think he's a good receiver and can be a solid contributor elsewhere. Odell Beckham Jr. is a name that I've heard some people throw out there. I know that's not a name a lot of people want to hear. People feel like, you know, his best years are behind him. But given the situation you're in right now with your thin receiving core, this is probably a name that you need to consider if you're Kansas City. And then, of course, the draft. It's possible the Chiefs were still going to get a wide receiver in the first round, maybe more so now because of the whole Rashee Rice situation. But then Andy Reid mentioned something in the press conference, and he mentioned Kadarius Toney. He called Kadarius Toney one of the most talented players on the team and said that he's essentially a good player as long as he stays healthy. Now, in Kadarius Toney's first year with the Chiefs, if you guys recall, midseason traded from the New York Giants, he actually picked up this offense very quick. In fact, about a year ago this time, when Brett Veach was doing his pre-draft press conference, he said the exact same thing, how Toney was able to pick up this offense pretty quickly. Unfortunately, Toney did miss some time, even in a short amount of time with the Chiefs in 2022, due to injuries. Last year, the injuries came up again, but before that, well, first the injury happened on the first day of training camp. And you know, he tweaked his knee, had surgery, minor knee surgery. And when he came back for that week one game against Detroit, he was the culprit in that football game that led to the Chiefs' 1-point loss. Had nothing to do with Travis Kelce being injured, had nothing to do with Chris Jones holding out in that game. The Chiefs were without their second and third best players. But that game was still very winnable because Kadarius Toney had a ball that bounced off of his hands for a pick six. Had another ball that he should have caught around midfield that would have definitely put the Chiefs very close to field goal range. And unfortunately for Kadarius Toney, he could never recover from that. It was a very bad season from the get-go. He's had several passes go off his hands for interceptions. The last time we saw him on the field was against the New England Patriots where Mahomes hit him in the hands, and it went to a Patriots defender. And Mahomes showed a little bit of frustration on the sidelines, not at Kadarius Toney, but just at his, I can't remember if it was Matt Nagy or if it was another assistant coach, like the quarterback coach, David Girardi or whoever it was. But he kind of just expressed his frustration. Listen, why wouldn't you? Like Mahomes dealt with this a couple of years ago when Tyreek Hill had a lot of balls go off of his hands for pick sixes or just interceptions. And that's always frustrating. So let's talk about Kadarius Toney for a moment here, because when this guy was coming out of college and entering the draft, and I don't remember the person who tweeted this, I remember sharing it at the time, but there was a draft scout out there saying, do not let this guy end up in Kansas City. And I think on Pat McAfee's show, they mentioned that this guy did receive comparisons to Tyreek Hill entering the draft. Now, no one is going to be anywhere close to Tyreek Hill's full skill set. But there are players like Hollywood Brown, like Kadarius Toney, who do have some similarities to Tyreek Hill. And we know what Kadarius Toney is capable of. Remember that touchdown catch where he was adjusting his glove while the ball was in midair? And he came through with that big catch. I can't remember if it was a touchdown or very close to the end zone. But he had a spectacular catch while trying to adjust his glove while the ball was in the air. Everyone knows about the punt return touchdown, or not the punt return touchdown, just a big punt return in the Super Bowl, the longest punt return in Super Bowl history. So Kadarius Toney has done some very good things for Kansas City, and obviously he contributed to one of the corndog touchdown plays in Super Bowl 57. But this past year was not a good year whatsoever for Kadarius Toney. And I think if you're Kansas City, you're holding out hope that he can put that behind him. Because I remember when the Chiefs were getting ready to play the Eagles for Monday Night Football, in that press conference coming off the bye week, Andy Reid was taking some questions about Tony's struggles. And he kind of chuckled for a second and said, look, he basically reminded the media, this guy had knee surgery to start training camp. Now, I'm not an athlete. I'm not a coach. I'm not a scout. But I kind of question, you know, when Andy Reid brought that up at the time, what was the purpose of bringing that up? Because the knee is not a correlation of the drops. I mean, it can't be. It just can't. And by the way, what was Kadarius Toney? I don't have it in front of me, but what was Kadarius Toney's yard per catch average? It was severely low. I think it was like 5.8 yards per catch on average. So it was a bad year for Kadarius Toney. But with Rashee Rice in trouble right now, you kind of find yourself in a bit of a situation where you're looking at another free agent. Maybe you're going to aggressively pursue a wide receiver in the first round. Maybe you trade up for a wide receiver in the first round. Maybe you look at guys like Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, Jay Watt, and maybe you just say, look, maybe we got to give these guys another chance because we are still thin on wide receivers. And yeah, there is the option to bring in new guys, but if we're not able to bring in any new free agents, if we're not able to get the guys we want in the draft, we might have to rely on some of the returning players who are at least familiar with the playbook in the offense in some way. It's not ideal. I know a lot of Chiefs fans don't want to hear that because I posted that the tweet from a Chiefs fan, and I apologize, I don't have his name in front of me, Mark Gunnels, that's who it was. And he said, I still trust in Kadarius Toney. I still believe in Kadarius Toney. And I asked a lot of you guys, do you guys still believe in Kadarius Toney? A lot of no's in this one. A lot of people disagreed and don't have faith in Kadarius Toney. And listen, why would you? Because this past season, he gave you a lot of reasons to not trust him. But he's also given you some reasons in the past to trust him. Listen, the Chiefs' wide receiver core right now behind Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice, if Rice is available, there's a lot of unknowns, a lot of potential, but also a lot of unknowns. Sky Moore, I mean, this guy was taken in the second round, and generally second-round draft picks are guys that can be quality starters. But the guy, Rice, who's in trouble right now, he was a second-round draft pick a year after Sky Moore, and he picked up the offense better than Sky Moore. You have Justin Ross, who a lot of people are still kind of waiting on. Maybe it's wishful thinking. People are still being hopeful that he might be able to rise and be able to live up to all the hype he received coming out of college. But, of course, injuries have kind of slowed him down, and we learned that he's kind of struggling picking up the offense in practices. But that is kind of what you're relying on right now. And again, we still have the draft to go. We still have some free agents left out there that are probably going to wait until after the draft to sign. So this roster's not, you know, set in stone right now. But let's just say, you know, with what we have to look at right now with the wide receiver core, Kadarius Toney is probably a guy that you're looking at and you're saying, look, you got to step up because we need someone else to fill in for Rashee Rice. And even if Rashee Rice is still available for all 17 games, you still need some help in the wide receiver department behind Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice. And I think a guy like Kadarius Toney is a good fit for that. But can he live up to that? I don't know. A lot of you guys are talking about Sky Moore in the comments. Matt says Sky needs to be a slot receiver. Bob says Sky needs to come out and show out this year. John says Sky Moore has been a bust. Thought he was going to be great. Not so much. Listen, let me just say this about Sky Moore, his rookie season. He was playing behind Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster. And again, I keep reminding people of this too. Your top pass catcher is Travis Kelce, obviously. So it does take away opportunities for a guy like Sky Moore. Now, last year, when your number one wide receiver was supposed to be Kadarius Toney, and then another one of your starters, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who at times was a liability as well. Yeah, he picked it up in the playoff, but overall body of work still wasn't very good. They brought back Mecole Hardman, who's still a free agent. You know, he didn't end up making that big of an impact. Yeah, sure, he had the walk-off touchdown, and credit to him. Yeah, sure. Yeah, anyone could have been there to do that, but you still got to be able to sell the play and fool the quarterback the way Mecole Hardman did. And with his speed, you're able to do that. And that's what he did. Kind of like how Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney did in the Super Bowl before. But I digress. The point I'm trying to make here is this is a very thin group of receivers behind Rice and Hollywood. Look, if you look at the Miami Dolphins team, obviously they have Tyreek Hill, who we all are very familiar with, and he's obviously just amazing at everything he does. And then you have Jaylen Waddle, who's also very good. But who's the next best pass catcher on that Miami Dolphins team? There's nothing wrong with relying on Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, because those two are damn awesome. And they also had two good running backs with Achan and Mostert. But if your passing game has just two very good receivers and everyone else is way below average, that's not going to help you. Listen, we all thought that the Miami Dolphins were going to be this scary team in the playoffs. They didn't even finish the league number one in scoring. And the Miami Dolphins, when they had that 70-point game against Denver, everybody thought, oh, this Miami team's going to go. Remember when the Chiefs lost to Denver and everybody thought that because Miami and Kansas City were getting ready to play the following week in Germany, everyone thought that Miami was going to crush Kansas City because of the fact that they scored 70 on Denver and the Chiefs just lost to Denver, which, you know, that kind of math just never adds up in sports. It just doesn't. But the point I'm trying to make here is Miami relied way too much on two very good wide receivers, and that didn't translate to any kind of success in the postseason. So you do know, listen, I know the Chiefs have more than just Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice. You have Travis Kelce, but Mahomes, I've always said this too with elite quarterbacks, you got to find ways to make everyone around you better. And I think Patrick Mahomes has done that. Now, if you're hitting your receivers where you need to hit them, meaning wherever they're wide open, you're throwing the football to them and they're dropping it, that's not on Mahomes. It's just not. I'm sorry, it's not. Because again, I've always said, you know, guys like Peyton Manning, remember Julius Thomas, the tight end for the Broncos? What happened to Julius Thomas after he had a different quarterback, not named Peyton Manning? Nobody, I don't even think people knew of Julius Thomas' existence once he left Denver and played with a no-name quarterback. Tom Brady made a lot of people around him better. Patrick Mahomes has made players around him better. Look at Juju Smith-Schuster. He went to New England and couldn't get anything going because of bad quarterback play. But when he was in Kansas City, he had some success. Watch Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I don't know where he's going to end up going, but if he goes to a team that doesn't have a good quarterback, his numbers are going to go way down. They just are. And I think Mahomes, you know, he's done everything necessary to make everyone around him better. But if they're not holding onto the football, if they're dropping passes, what else can you do if you're Mahomes? And that's why a guy like Kadarius Toney needs to step up and focus this offseason and work on the hands and prevent the drops. Because if you do that, dude, this offense is going to do a lot more. A lot more. And we always talked about it all year last year. The Chiefs just need to flip the switch. We said this in week 16, 17. that late in the season we were talking about flipping the switch. Because everyone, here's what everyone knew. That this team has a quarterback named Patrick Mahomes. This is not a team that's going to just roll over and die easily. And unfortunately for a lot of the Chiefs haters out there, they were hoping that would happen and it didn't. The complete opposite happened in the playoffs. You go and you beat Miami in the cold. Yeah, it was the cold, but Miami, they had all their guys on offense that they needed. And they only had one touchdown, and it was on a terrible play by Trent McDuffie, who just completely lost sight of Tyreek Hill and the football. But he made up for it later by breaking up a pass against Tyreek Hill. And then you go the following week in Buffalo. Oh, Patrick Mahomes has never played a road playoff game before, or at least a true road playoff game before. And he's never played in Buffalo with fans in the stands. Well, how did that narrative work? And I'll even say this. Buffalo's lucky they even attempted a field goal in that one. Because if Mecole Hardman doesn't fumble into the end zone, the Chiefs are up by 10 in that game. And then in Baltimore, where, you know, the Chiefs' offense wasn't the best, but Baltimore just imploded. And in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs didn't play their best football either. They didn't have their own actual long touchdown drive until overtime to win the game, which is crazy. They almost had one right before regulation. The touchdown to MVS in regulation was off of a fumble on a punt, of all things. But I think the point I'm trying to get here, you know, Kadarius Toney, with all these things you have right now, if your offense can win a Super Bowl with those kinds of struggles, even in the Super Bowl with the way they struggled, what if they figure it out? What if they are able to come up with some solutions to preventing drops this season? You got yourself a three-peat. You're definitely going to repeat as division champs. And the path to three-peating is certainly doable. Because you have a lot of confidence in your defense. Yeah, Legarius needs God, but you still have an all-pro quarterback in Trent McDuffie and a couple of other young guys from the same draft class who the Chiefs absolutely trust. You have a very strong front line bringing back. Did the Chiefs bring back everyone on their defensive line? Because I think they did. I'm trying to think. Who did the Chiefs lose on their defensive line? They brought back Chris Jones. They brought back Mike Dana. Derek Nnadi. Tershawn Wharton's back. Carl Loftus is still under contract. Like, Mike Pinnell's back. You still have your entire defensive line intact. And maybe you make an upgrade in the draft. I don't know. We'll see. But this is still a very good defense without Willie Gay and Legarius Sneed. Your offense needs to provide a damn balance, though. And it's a simple fix. It requires a lot of focus just to prevent the drops. If the Chiefs do that, they're going to be a good football team offensively in 2024. Let's see. I do want to touch on Wanya Morris for a moment because the left tackle position is wide open right now. And I heard Bill Belichick, who I want to get into a little later on, but Bill Belichick was on Pat McAfee's show. By the way, if you have not heard this, go listen to that. In fact, watch the video version on YouTube because I've never seen Belichick so outgoing and upfront and upbeat in an interview before. He just never has. So it was really cool to see that side of Bill Belichick. But Belichick did say in his interview with McAfee that there are a lot of, this is a very deep draft class with offensive tackles and wide receivers. Now, we've heard that from the media quite a lot. But it means a lot more coming from a six-time Super Bowl champion who knows how these things work. And what are the two positions the Chiefs need right now? Left tackle and wide receiver. Well, lucky for the Chiefs, they do have they do have a situation they're in right now where they can draft for a left tackle and a wide receiver in the first two rounds. If I had to bet money, not sure which one would be first. My guess would be wide receiver. Obviously, it depends on who's available at 32, unless you trade up. I think their first two draft picks are going to be wide receiver and offensive tackle, for sure. But is there a chance the Chiefs might avoid drafting a left tackle in the first two rounds? Because if you do not draft a left tackle, it means you're either going to go with Wanya Morris, Maybe you give Lucas Niang a shot at left tackle, because I like Lucas Niang at right tackle, but unfortunately, you have Jawan Taylor, who's carrying a very hefty contract at that position right now, which you can't really get out of at the moment. There's also the possibility of Donovan Smith coming back. Oh, listen, Donovan Smith was terrible during the regular season, but I thought he actually stepped up in the postseason for the Chiefs. Wanya Morris did show some flashes in the 4 to 5 games that he played when Donovan Smith was injured. So I'm not exactly sure. I would say there's maybe a 20% chance they don't draft an offensive tackle and they could give Wanya Morris a shot. I really do believe that. Is Wanya Morris my preferred left tackle for week one? Not really, but I'm also not completely opposed to it. Because when you have a franchise quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, who's obviously right-handed, your left tackle position is probably one of the more important positions on this football team. Yeah, I know right now a lot of people are thinking about receiver, especially with all the drops last year, but you got to protect your quarterback's blind side, especially when your quarterback's name is Patrick Mahomes. Who is best suited for that? Is it Wanya Morris? Is it someone in the draft? I know Joe Alt, but he's expected to go very early. Could it be a guy like Patrick Paul, who I like, who I think could go late second, early third round? Because there's a lot of talk here that the first four draft picks might be teams taking quarterbacks. And that's great news for any of the teams out there, like the Chiefs, like the Bengals, like the Eagles, like the Bills, who are not going to draft a quarterback. There's just no way. And maybe, you know, not that any of those teams I mentioned are in position to get Marvin Harrison Jr., but if you see Marvin Harrison Jr. fall out of the top five, which could actually be a possibility, maybe one of those big teams do end up calling a team that's in the top 10 and might make that trade right there to be able to bring in a Marvin Harrison Jr. Certainly possible. Not out of the realm of possibilities. So if you're the Chiefs and you look at how there's a lot of expectations that a lot of quarterbacks are going to go, especially very early in the first round, it does give you some less competition for wide receivers and offensive tackles. But I will say this right now. I could see a lot of wide receivers and offensive tackles go in the first round, man. That left tackle position, you know, I know we don't ever talk about offensive linemen unless they're doing terrible, but it is a very important position if you have a franchise quarterback. So I think there are going to be a lot of teams that have quarterbacks already that they're comfortable with, they might go and get a left tackle or a wide receiver, which again are the two biggest needs for the Chiefs right now. If the Chiefs want someone, whether it's a wide receiver or a left tackle, they're going to have to trade up. Not to say whoever would be available at 32 is not going to be good enough, but they might not be good enough, if you know what I mean. They just might not have the same kind of impact. And I'm not saying, you know, trade everything and go get Marvin Harrison Jr. No, that's going to cost you a lot. You're going to essentially have to give up a big name player. And if you're going to really try to get Marvin Harrison Jr., well, you might as well have kept L'Jarius Sneed so you could use him as trade bait. Well, not trade bait, but you know what I mean. So unless the Chiefs are giving up first-round draft picks for like the next 3 to 4 years, you're not going up to get Marvin Harrison Jr. Now, what about a guy like Mitchell from Texas? What about the other Texas receiver who's getting a lot of hype this offseason, Xavier Worthy, who could absolutely excel in Andy Reid's offense, especially with Patrick Mahomes throwing the football? Because a lot of mock drafts had Xavier Worthy going late in the second round, which is where the Chiefs are picking. But if Xavier Worthy's getting all this hype, especially with his 40 time breaking the combine record, I don't think that guy's going to be available after 15 or 20 in the first round. And I think Kansas City needs to be ready to make a trade on draft day. Obviously, the draft is next weekend. It's going to be a very interesting 8 days to see what exactly is going to happen, what the Chiefs are going to do leading up to the draft, and what the Chiefs will do on draft day. Because if the Chiefs want a viable receiver or left tackle, I think they're going to have to trade up in this draft. A couple other things to get into here. Patrick Mahomes was part of Time Magazine's top 100 most influential people of 2024. So good on him once again, making the list. Another year for Mahomes. Another year, you know, just your average year for Mahomes. Winning a Super Bowl, getting on Time Magazine's top 100 list. Yeah, I mean, nothing out of the ordinary for Patrick Mahomes. He did a very long, big interview with Time Magazine, and they went into all sorts of things, talking about football, family, Taylor Swift, and even politics. Yes, politics. Patrick Mahomes was asked who would he endorse in this upcoming election. Not sure why Time Magazine needs to know that. I guess with how big Mahomes is. I mean, yeah, I get it. Politicians love endorsements from public figures because they know that their fan base, not all of them, but some of them, will follow along, which I think is silly, man. Like, you got to think for yourself. You got to do your own research, which is what Mahomes said in this interview, is that he doesn't want to endorse anyone, which I can understand. Very smart of him. And that he wants people to do their research and vote for what they believe in. Now, what could be the primary reason for Mahomes not wanting to endorse anyone? Because if you remember, 2020 was obviously a crazy year with the pandemic and all the talk about race. And Mahomes took part in a video, an NFL Black Lives Matter video, which Tyrann Mathieu, who was with the Chiefs at the time, also took part in that. Now, right before the season, Patrick Mahomes and Tyrann Mathieu, they both started voter registration drives, encouraging people to vote and making sure that all of their information is correct and accurate when they go vote. Patrick Mahomes nor Tyrann Mathieu, they never told anyone how to vote. They never said vote blue, vote red, vote this person, vote that person. Never said any of that. But Mahomes and Mathieu took a lot of heat online. A lot of stick to sports comments. And again, they didn't endorse anyone. They didn't tell anyone how to vote. People just assumed. And I've seen people assume on both. Oh, he's from Texas, so he votes this person. Oh, he made a Black Lives Matter video with other NFL players. Well, he definitely voted this way. It's like, man, I don't really know and don't care too much about this kind of thing. But I think the reason why Mahomes is avoiding endorsing anyone, if he got criticized just for creating a voter registration drive, well, he's definitely going to get criticized a lot when or if he endorses someone, which I don't think he will. Remember Joe Burrow? He spoke out in 2021, I think, where he was defending women's rights to an abortion. And I shared that, and boy, there were a lot of Bengals fans and a lot of LSU fans who bashed him. Saw a lot of LSU fans. I put the post on there. The comments are there. I saw a couple of LSU fans saying, hey, thanks for the national championship, but screw you type of thing. Now, do you think those same LSU fans and Bengals fans had the same energy when Burrow was rematching Mahomes in the AFC title game that year? Hell no! They were all rooting for Burrow to win. Do you think all those people that said Mahomes needs to stick to sports and not, and they were upset because he took part in a Black Lives Matter video, did they root against him in any of these Super Bowls? Hell no, they did not. They were absolutely pulling for Mahomes and the Chiefs to win. Look, here's my thing, because I posted this on my page, and there are a lot of people talking about how this is a smart decision, which I can get. But at the same time, man, like, I don't want to live in a world where if I'm a celebrity, I essentially can't speak about politics because you're going to piss off a large group of people no matter what you say. Listen, athletes, actors, celebrities, authors, these people, they're human just like us. They like to eat delicious food like us. They like to watch a great movie just like the rest of us. And just like you and I, they also have stances and opinions. They have religious beliefs. They have all sorts of commonalities that we don't realize sometimes. The big difference is they're famous and rich and live a luxurious lifestyle, and a lot of us don't. Bob mentions Butker. It's pretty clear where he leans politically. In fact, he took a picture with U.S. Senator from Missouri, Josh Hawley. I guess it was like some sort of religious event, because Butker has been very vocal about how proud he is with his religion. And there were a lot of people kind of outraged about this. Same people get outraged whenever, Mahomes took a picture with Mayor Quinton Lucas, or when the Chiefs visited the White House last year, which again is silly to me. I think athletes should be allowed to have opinions. Now, I get it. The First Amendment allows you to criticize anyone else that has for their opinions, I guess. Okay. Look, you can't sit here and tell LeBron James, shut up and dribble, and then say that Drew Brees is allowed an opinion. There was a Fox News anchor who did that exact same thing and was absolutely lit up for it. And her justification for it was pretty terrible, too. Look, I don't care who you are. I said this about Butker when he was encouraging Kansans to vote yes, essentially voting against abortion. And I said, look, I think Butker is allowed to have that opinion. He's allowed to go be part of that campaign if he chooses. Now, are the people who generally shout stick to sports, are they going to say anything to Butker, or are they going to support him for this? Because here's how the whole political thing works. A lot of times it's stick to sports if you disagree with someone. And both sides are guilty of this. I'm not here to pick sides. I think both sides are stupid, for the record. However, if an athlete or a celebrity, an actor, whoever, if they have political stances that align with yours and people criticize them for their political stances, those people will come out defending them and saying, hey, it's his opinion. He's allowed to have it. Let's bring that same energy for everybody. And listen, if Mahomes wants to endorse someone, do it. Listen, I was on here a few weeks ago saying that if I could vote in Jackson County, I would vote no. But I was also very quick to say, don't vote no because of me. Do your own research and vote in what you believe in, which is almost the exact same thing Patrick Mahomes said in this Time Magazine interview, where he said that he's not going to pressure anyone to vote a certain way, but he wants people to do their research, do their due diligence, and then come to a conclusion as to what they want to do. And that's what every American should do. Why do you think Donald Trump constantly gets endorsements from Dana White? Well, first of all, they're friends. Trump and White go way back. Trump did what Dana White a lot of favors for the sport of MMA and the company UFC. But the big reason why Trump gets endorsements from White, why he wants it, is because he knows a lot of UFC fans are going to follow along with Dana White. Why do you think Joe Biden will ask certain celebrities for an endorsement? Because he knows a lot of their followers will follow along and vote that way. I don't agree with it. I think people need to be able to think for themselves. Vote because you believe in it, not because, Patrick Mahomes told you so. But, a lot of people let other people think for themselves, which I think is very silly. Let's see. The NFL. I can't say this with a straight face. The NFL has a new sponsor, a new bar and grill sponsor. I love this category. Bar and grill. I love how they can separate all of these. the new pizza restaurant, the sponsor of the NFL, the official sports bar of the NFL. Like they categorize these different types of restaurants so they can have so many different restaurants as sponsors. The NFL's official bar and grill partner is Applebee's. Yes, Applebee's. I have a question. Who the fuck still goes to Applebee's? I'm trying to think of the last time. The last time I went to an Applebee's, I actually do remember. My broadcasting class from senior year, they all wanted to like reunite and get together again and all that shit. And they picked Applebee's of all places. Spoiler alert, I could not wait to get out of there. Look, I used to live in Overland Park for 15 years. And there were two Applebee's, both fairly close to me. Both of them have closed. So, listen, obviously the NFL is going to go with whoever is paying the most money. But if Applebee's is closing a lot of their restaurants, how in the hell do they have the money to pay the NFL of all companies for a sponsorship? I said the same thing about Conor McGregor. Whenever Conor McGregor got that Burger King endorsement, I'm like, how? Like, every Burger King I know in Overland Park has closed, yet Conor McGregor somehow landed that sponsor. And I'm sure that's no cheap sponsor. Not one bit. Boy, there. Look at the comment section here. You want to talk about stick to sports? No one's sticking to sports on this one. John says Applebee's blows. Agree 100%. Haven't been in 15 years. Jason says it should be Buffalo Wild Wings instead of Applebee's. But yeah, but Jason, I think, you know, they categorize this. Applebee's is a bar and grill, whereas Buffalo Wild Wings is a sports bar. So the NFL can have a separate sports bar as a sponsor and then a separate bar and grill as a sponsor. Listen, what's the pizza sponsor they have? Oh God, I can't think of it right now. What is the pizza sponsor? Someone in the comments help me. Ben says Applebee's is filed for bankruptcy. I thought not even one is open here in California. Maybe all are in Texas. Maybe, I don't know. Some people were commenting and they said that a lot of people in small towns go to Applebee's because that's all they have. Okay. No, John, it's not pizza. Thank you, Kyle. Little Caesars, that's what it was. So they have Little Caesars as their pizza sponsor. I believe Buffalo Wild Wings is their sports bar sponsor. And now Applebee's is their bar and grill sponsor. They can easily come out with like a seafood sponsor. And, you know, it can be Bonefish Grill, you know, or whatever. So they can, that's another way they can sneak in another, you know, restaurant for a sponsorship. But Applebee's, do you guys know the, Domino's is also a sponsor of the NFL? I did not know that. Farzine Sports Bar, the new NFL endorsement. I will take that, Scott. I don't know if I have the money to be able to pay the NFL for that kind of thing, but yeah, I would not be opposed if it was a little cheap to make that kind of thing happen. I don't know if you guys know who Big Doss TV is. He's from the Kansas City area. In fact, he went to high school in Olathe East. I believe he played basketball there. He's very famous for doing all of these like YouTube pranks. He's very, one of the cool things he does, he'll just like get the brand new iPhone or a brand new MacBook Pro or a brand new PlayStation or Xbox or whatever is like the new thing hot on the shelves, or hot off the shelves, I should say. And he'll get like 10 of those and just give them out to people at like a college campus or on the street, wherever. So very, very cool. One famous prank he's known for is dressing up as Klay Thompson, showing up as Klay Thompson, dressed exactly like him, like in warm-up gear, everything. And he gets into the arena, which, you know, is a very big security issue there. But the point I'm trying to get at is he did a prank where he was convincing girls to break up with their boyfriends. He actually convinced one girl to do it and wanted to take her out on a date. And the girl was like, yeah, sure, where are you taking me? And Big Doss TV goes, Applebee's. And the girl responds and goes, they microwave everything. And I see a lot of people say that in the comments. Listen, I don't. Sometimes there are restaurants that I've gone to that I've liked. And I'm like, man, I like this place. And then, you know, you see they get shut down and you kind of get sad because you thought it was a good restaurant. But, you know, maybe there are some things going on behind the scenes. You know, one sports bar I really, really liked, maybe more so for the atmosphere than the food, was the 810 Zone. Do you guys, please, I know a lot of you guys remember the 810 Zone. They had one in Leawood. They had one at the Plaza, which was an awesome place. Now it's like a winery or something. I don't know what it is now. There was one in Lee's Summit. I had never been to that one. And there was also one at Harris Casino. I'll be honest, I've never actually been to Harris Casino in Kansas City. Do you guys remember the 810 Zone? Surely some of you do. I like that sports bar a lot. But unfortunately, it closed down. It is kind of sad to see some businesses go down. But, you know, a business like Applebee's, when you have shitty food, I can't say I feel too bad about that kind of thing. I want to get into Bill Belichick real quickly. So news came out this morning, which Robert Kraft has already denied, that Robert Kraft supposedly approached the Atlanta Falcons, or maybe the Atlanta Falcons approached him, and Robert Kraft warned the Atlanta Falcons about Bill Belichick and convinced them to not add Bill Belichick to the team. He has obviously denied this. I've heard a majority of the Pat McAfee interview with Belichick, and I don't think they ever address this topic, unless it's in the end of it where I've yet to hear. What reason would Robert Kraft have to quote unquote warn the Falcons? I mean, listen, I've said this before, as smart and as great of a genius as Belichick is, his last few drafts have been terrible. Okay, go look up Patriots draft history and go look up the last couple of drafts. They are bad. They are enormously bad. But if they're that bad, why would you feel the need to warn an NFC team of all teams about it? It just doesn't make sense. I can't really buy into that rumor. I just can't. I have to get that out there because I haven't heard a lot of people bring up that angle of it. Kyle says 28-3. Yeah. Maybe that's a reason to warn them about it. But it just seems weird to me. A couple other things I want to get into, non-Chiefs related. You know, I've got to be honest with you guys. I have kind of fallen out of the UFC in the last year, and I've kind of tried to get back into it recently. And boy, I think this is a really good time to kind of get back into MMA, because UFC 300, a milestone event. And listen, this is a sport where a lot of things can go right and a lot of things can also go wrong. My God, a lot of things went right for the UFC this past Saturday. And not just about, you know, the event leading up to it. No fighter missed weight, as far as I know. No fighter tested positive for banned substances. None of that. All of the fights went on as scheduled. And there were a lot of great fights that night. Obviously, the one that stole the show was Max Holloway, who is just a badass in every way possible, against Justin Gaethje, who's also a badass. Those two went to war, and Max Holloway at the very final tick got a KO. Dude, Max Holloway's a legend. This dude really is. And his career is not over, man. I'm telling you right now, if you're not into the UFC and you want to pick a fighter to follow, I'll give you one. Max Holloway. Active fighter, a likable guy, and a great fighter nonetheless. That was awesome. You know who else I was impressed by was Kayla Harrison, who made a very big weight cut to 135, who normally fights at 155. And she looked really, really good against Holly Holm. I know Holly Holm is still kind of living off of that Ronda Rousey aura about her, but she has declined a lot lately, but still a good fighter. I mean, she's still knocking people out here and there once in a while. That was a great win for Kayla Harrison. I was very impressed by her, and I thought she looked really good. So, pretty good night of fights for UFC 300. Last thing I want to get to, this whole thing with Caitlin Clark and WNBA players getting underpaid here. Obviously, the last 2 years have been pretty significant for the WNBA. We've seen the WNBA, women's college basketball. We've seen women's college basketball get a lot of attention that it has never, ever received before. And there's a great crop of players that are now leaving women's college basketball and heading to the WNBA, such as Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, some of the South Carolina players as well. Caitlin Clark brought a lot of attention to women's college basketball this year. And now she's in the WNBA, was the obvious number one pick drafted by Indiana. And when you look at Caitlin Clark's salary, it's not really the best. I know in the women's soccer team, which has been great the past, 10 years or so, they have been heavily underpaid, and they were fighting very hard to try to get equal pay because they've been playing way better than the men's national team. Now, with Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and so many other players from women's college basketball this year going on to the WNBA now, is the WNBA going to get a lot of eyes? A lot of new eyes, that is. Because ratings for the draft were up. When you look at her starting salary, she's going to be making more than $76,500. And she's going to earn roughly $338,000 in the next 4 years. When the whole Brittany Griner thing happened in Russia, a lot of people were wondering, why was she in Russia? Well, in the WNBA, they don't pay you much. So in the offseason, WNBA players, they go play internationally so they can make more money. Now, $76,000, that's not a lot, even for a professional athlete. And Caitlin Clark, I know she's going to get endorsement deals, so she's going to be okay. But she's not the only basketball player that's going to help improve the sport of basketball in the WNBA. I'm just going to say right now, if you're one of those people that believes in the WNBA and how these athletes should make more money, great. But put your money where your mouth is, because if you truly do believe that Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, all of these players that are now in the WNBA, they deserve much better pay than $76,000 a year, start watching the sport. Start buying their jerseys. I know we don't have a team in Kansas City, but if you're able to, go travel to a WNBA game. Get yourself a ticket. Go watch a game. Start supporting the athletes. Now, maybe financially, you cannot commit to jerseys and merchandise, and I understand that. But you can, at the very least, watch the games. Because if the ratings are up, that is a huge step. I know the NBA is talking about how attendance is up this year, which is nice. But in the NFL, does the NFL ever talk about attendance numbers? When was the last time the NFL ever bragged about attendance? But do you know what the NFL brags about? Ratings. They always dominate the ratings. And whenever people bitch and moan about Peacock, well, guess what? 23 million people tuned in to the Chiefs-Dolphins playoff game on Peacock. And all that does is give the NFL leverage to want to do more of these things often. In fact, they're going to be doing it again next postseason. I believe this is going to be with Amazon this time. I believe Peacock is going to get the week one game in Brazil between the Eagles and I don't know who the other team is. I think the Packers. Don't quote me on that. But the NFL feeds off of ratings. So if the WNBA ratings go up, guess what? Players like Caitlin Clark will make more money. And I think she deserves it because we all know, I mean, unless something completely unexpected happens, she's going to improve the sport of basketball. She's probably going to bring a lot of eyes, a lot of new eyes to the WNBA. Listen, I'll be honest, I'm not going to follow the WNBA closely, but I'm going to try to follow Caitlin Clark and see how she's doing in the WNBA. I'm definitely going to try to tune in to her WNBA debut because I do think that's going to be one of the more important days in WNBA history and in all of women's sports history. It is the Packers? Okay, thank you. So, if you're one of those people that want to see WNBA players get more pay, start watching the product. And from that point, it'll go up. All right, we've covered a lot of topics here. Like I said, not a lot of newsworthy events with the Chiefs outside of the Rashee Rice lawsuit. So we may have more podcasts like this, especially in the month of June. That little time period is when you're going to have a very quiet news cycle with these kinds of things. So had a lot of good conversation. Listen, when we can even generate conversation in the chat about Applebee's, the NFL's new sponsor, that's when you know we can talk about anything and have fun with it. Appreciate all of you guys. Facebook.com/FarzineVisugi, and that's the Facebook page. YouTube.com/Farzine21. I commented with the YouTube link in the chat. So for those of you that have not subscribed to the YouTube channel late, if you guys could, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Let me get it one more time. Copying the link right there. And there it is, commenting with it. There it is. Yeah, so if you haven't done so already, please make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube channel because we're going to start putting more video content on there as well. All right, guys, my name is Farzine Visugi, and thank you for listening to the Chiefs Zone podcast. I'll be back this Friday for the Red Friday live chat. Until then, I'll talk to you later. Peace out.